us two together, like, we could sit here for 5 minutes and list out five good bullet points on topic X, but does that resonate? And so how do you go from, all right, well, this is bullet one. Let's talk about that for a second. What does it mean? What is it? Yes, no, maybe. And then let's tell a cool story or bring that to a real life lesson or something, you know, fuck, I fell in the Mississippi River when I was a kid and, you know, that kind of shit.
Sure.
This is the Be One Change One podcast, where our mission is to help listeners define values, practice integrity, and inspire change.
Our vision is to mentor men and empower them to achieve more by taking responsibility for shaping their own lives.
He's Cass, an evolving man who has been shaped by adversity and continues to grow through his imperfections.
And he's Roscoe, an imperfect work in progress that tries to suck less every day.
Between us, we have over 40 years of Air Force fighter pilot experience with countless hours as trainers, instructors, and mentors.
Join us and learn to take responsibility for your own life as we dive into subjects from leadership to resilience to vulnerability.
Be the one who changes their course. Be decisive, driven, and purposeful. Set the example for others. Lead. We wish we'd had this show when we were younger men.
Be the one.
I don't know. It's been fun to learn that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of rivers, today's topic on influence. I almost got there in the last episode where we were talking about opportunity, and I wanted to tell this story. This is a snippet of a much larger story. If you really want to get into the nuts and bolts of it, you can go see my other stuff on Amazon. So I'm standing on the edge of the I'm standing on the edge of the Teklanika River in Alaska. This river flows from the glacier of the same name up in the Denali Range. And I'm standing there. I had hiked, me and two of my bros had hiked up and down this river for probably at least a quarter to a half mile in either direction, trying to find a place to cross this river to get to our destination. And we couldn't do it. The river was so fucking fast. Like, it was so freaking fast. It flowed north, which that tumbled my gyros.
Yeah.
All the mission planning that I'd done, for some reason I'd overlooked that detail and it completely tumbled me. So standing there on the bank of the river, we'd almost lost one of our friends down the river. He went under. Like, he got his legs swept out from under him, and he went under. And I'll tell you another story some other time about the look of sheer terror on somebody's face. I've only seen it twice in my life, and that was one of them. Like, this guy, he looked at me like, you could just see it in his eyes. He was saying, tell my wife and kids I love them. The life insurance shit's in the safe. So, anyway, so we're standing there on the bank, and we admitted defeat. And so we went over and we found a couple of logs. We sat down on these logs. We built us a little fire to dry out all our shit because the sun had finally come out, but we're soaked in glacial river water now, and we're just freezing. Our legs are bright red with frost nip, and it was freaking cold.
Yeah.
So this is summer solstice weekend in Alaska. So, I mean, the high is somewhere around 70 or so. Anyways, we're sitting there around our campfire. We got out our victory cigars and we're like, you know what? Screw it. We're gonna light these victory cigars anyway. And my friend gave this really epic speech about why we're smoking these cigars and to hell with everybody else. And at least we tried, you know, and that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, came these three kids. They were, I don't know, probably between 18 and 21 years old. Scruffy beards, beanie caps, flannel shirts. They came up and they're just like, hey guys, how's it going? We saw your fire over here. We just wanted to come say hi. So we start talking to these cats and through the conversation, well, it turns out that they had saved up all their money through the winter working in Canada so that they could come up and just do this great Northwest find Jesus sabbatical thing. And they're just living out there in their tents, reading their Bibles, chewing on straw. And I mean, it's freaking epic, right? We're out in the middle of, literally in the middle of the wilderness in Alaska, and three people popped out of the woods. Holy crap. So we have like a 10-minute conversation with these dudes, and they asked the question that changed everything. Did you guys make it to the bus? No, the river was too high. We couldn't make it. It's too swift. Oh, well, we were just there yesterday. What? Wait, how did you, Flannel? We got, look at all our cool guy hiking stuff. Like I have really nice hiking boots and all this gear, and you went out there and Flannel. So they started telling us the story of how they crossed the river and they came back to get their clothes because they realized that when they got across, they were in flip-flops and they still had 10 miles to go. And so they came back, got their shit, and went back across the river. Good God, man. Well, what's the point of the story? All right. Talking about influence and how other people can influence you or how you can allow yourself to be influenced by others. We had a decision to make right there in that moment. Do we cross this river and go to our destination, or do we say, you know what, guys? Thanks for the info. We're good. Now we can do a whole nother episode on decision making, but their influence on us and our laser focus on reaching our goal, we allowed them to influence us. We crossed the river. We made it to our destination. We almost died a couple of times. It's a great story. But that's the power of influence on other people. And that's what we'll talk about today is influence. So that I don't do all the talking in this episode, I'll turn it over to you to get us a good definition of what is influence.
Yeah. So the definition that I found is just the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. So kind of benign, but that's basically what it boils down to, right? Is you have an effect on somebody, something, or someone else. You're able to have that effect. And for me, I think if we just distill it down to its most granular form, right? Like it's just, if you want to have influence, it's about showing up and being authentic. So if you show up in with your authentic self, and because really, at least in my mind, and I don't know what the experts believe about this or not, but if you want to have influence in another person's life, it comes down to trust. And the only way you're ever going to build trust with people is one, to be authentic, and to ensure that they know how much you care. It's just like we talked about before, right? Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And so when you can start to do that, then I think you can start to build influence with people.
Yeah.
And have influence around the people in your life. Once they trust you in that, and there's a whole bunch that goes into that, right? Consistency, you know, you showing up and being consistent in your words and your actions and your behavior, integrity, you know, you showing up and walking in integrity and showing that when you say something, you mean it, and that you're going to follow through with the things that you say you're going to do. And there's all these other pieces that go into it. But the end of the day, that's how I've always approached influences. You know, the first thing you got to do is build trust.
How about the, you know, your mantra of humble, approachable, credible, and kind of my big three of attitude, attention, and effort, things that we've already discussed, but they all kind of, we've said it every episode now, I think that all these things kind of weave together and tie together, and you're humble, approachable, credible. If you are lacking in those areas, what leaders require followers. If you think of yourself as a leader and you get out front and you turn around and nobody's following you, you're not a leader, bro.
Yeah.
You're just a dude out there doing shit, right? So if you want to influence people and you want them to actually follow your lead and what you're doing, then you have to have some of these other elements that we've already discussed in the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. And you may not even want to lead, but I'm here to tell you, if you're, you know, a good person that does good work and builds trust with other people, by default, you're going to end up having people want to learn and follow you.
They are, right? The ones who aren't seeking something, the ones who are just doing it because that's who they are and that's your authenticity.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, you know, if we're talking about, let's, you know, if we're in a work environment or the military, there's an organizational hierarchy to most everything, right? And there's going to be positional authority that comes with somebody who's a manager or the commander or whatever, right? But just because they have quote unquote positional authority doesn't mean they have a lot of great influence, right? There's a big difference. And I think it's important for this conversation that at some point we kind of discuss that difference between power and influence.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and to that point, and I don't want to like totally kick back on it, because I like what you said, but they may have influence, but they may have it in exactly the wrong direction of what they intended it to be. If they're in that position of authority or that position of power over you, and they're more of a dictator than the humble leader, then their influence may be negative in some respects. You know, I mean, if the people don't want to go their direction because they hate the motherfucker, then
yeah,
I mean, I'm not articulating that.
No, well, I think
correctly.
What
I know,
and
I'm not.
So, for instance, we can probably both name several people in our military careers who were in a position of authority, right? So their rank or their their title gave them some amount of authority, and you had to do what they said as long as it was a lawful order, because they're in charge over you, but their influence over you was zero to none. I mean, I can give you a perfect example. I'm in the 78th Fighter Squadron, the Bushmasters at Shire Force Base. It's a complete fucking shit show. I get there from Korea, the first squadron to go through this MMC upgrade, which I'm not going to bore the listeners with what that means, but back in that time, it was a really big avionics upgrade to the F-16. And they had no plan to fly guys or do anything while the squadron has, you know, 80% of its jets going through depot for a four-month mod. So when I show up, just a couple jets on the line. Long story short, we eventually ramp up. We get our jets back pretty quick from the time that I showed up. We start flying again. And we're getting ready to spin up to go to Operation Northern Watch. So we go up to Alaska for Cope Thunder. That was our deployment exercise. And we come back. Well, while we're in Cope Thunder, we have our director of operations swapping out. So while we're at Cope T, we kind of had the DO that we had was already gone. We have like an interim one of the ADOs, whatever. And a new guy shows up while we're at Cope Thunder. So we come back from Cope Thunder. The squadron, it was like the first time that the squadron was kind of starting to gel again. This particular squadron didn't have great leadership. It was a little bit clicky. And then it was because of the CCP upgrade stuff, it was basically a little bit of a flying club, you know, that was just guys weren't real invested. But we go to Cope Thunder, and it was like the first time that the squadron really started to kind of gel, and dudes started to perform a little bit, and like things were just kind of starting to move in the right direction. We get back to Shaw and land the jets 0800 on Monday morning, everybody in the main briefing room. So we walk in, and new DO walks up on the stage, goes, "I've been here for a week. Your shit's in the street. Like, I went through this office, and all these regulations were out of date. I went through, like, just fucking queep monster, right? No, hey, dudes. Really excited to be here. Really excited for the opportunity to work with all of you guys. We got some work that we need to do, but we'll get to that. You know, I just want you guys to know, not that, right? It's your guys' shit in the street. You got until close of business today to clean it all up, or people will get grounded," kind of a thing. Okay. You know,
he could have handled that situation differently.
And then, so at this time, I'm the assistant chief of weapons. So me and the weapons officer have a meeting with him, right? So we go in, and the weapons officer is this great dude from Tennessee, and he walks up, goes to shake his hand. He's like, "Hey, sir, really excited to meet you." He had worked on this whole training plan for getting the squadron spun up, blah, 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 blah. The DO sits there and looks at him and goes, "You can stand at attention." He goes, "Let me just tell you this. I don't like patch wearers, and you're not going to run my squadron. Do you have any questions?" And this particular individual is, I mean, I can see the question mark over his head and, you know, like the horror on his face. And he's like, "No, sir." And he goes, "You're dismissed." And we're like, wow. We go back into weapons and we're like, "What the fuck was that, man?" Like, So, right. So there's somebody who's in a position of authority. So has some authority, has some power over, if you will.
Yeah.
But dude, there wasn't a person in that squadron. Most dudes were dragging their feet on anything he ever asked them to do. And there wasn't a person in that squadron that was going to go the extra mile or do anything above and beyond for that man. Because he was a complete douche.
Well, I guess what I was trying to say earlier was, using that story as an example, that dude influenced an entire squadron. not necessarily through his position of power, but the way he acted in that position. And now everybody, we've already had the discussion about, we have probably a list of guys that we worked with or worked for that we learned as much about what not to do from them as we did what to do from them.
Yeah.
Like, we've had great leaders, we've had not so great leaders, and those not so great leaders teach you lessons as well.
Yeah.
You put those in a different column called don't do this, as opposed to the great guy that you want to follow, who's got all these other really solid character traits and attributes about him. But the other guys can teach you as much as well, and they can have influence over you. And, you know, 10 years down the road, you may look back onto that story and be like, oh yeah, man, I really don't want to be like that guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to handle myself like that. I don't want to show up like this.
No, it definitely informed me down the road.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So when, you know, talking about influence, I was thinking about this in, I was thinking about this from two different avenues, right? When I started brainstorming and started kind of taking notes, I was thinking about, how do we influence people in our day-to-day actions, whether it's at your job or your circle of friends or how you carry yourself in your family, your relationships, you have influence over people. And what does that mean? And how do we get there? And how do we do things like that? And then there's another side to the same coin of, how are we influenced? What do we allow to influence our actions? What do we allow to get inside our heads and maybe change the way that we think or our perception of ourselves or our environment around us? So kind of the two sides of the same coin there to have that discussion. You got any tips or tricks on how to move down those roads? I think it's easy to talk about the outward projection of how we're influencing others, but it's a little bit of a different discussion when we're looking at our environment and saying, what do we allow to influence us? Because everybody's influenced by something at some point, whether it's a TV show that you watched or, you know, how you're perceived by your friend group or what your yard looks like. I mean, I think that there's some reflections there.
What do you think they are? Well, what are they for you?
Well, I mean, the most glaring one right now is social media. Social media, I mean, they call them social media influencers for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, these guys and gals that get on there and they're peddling their wares or their ideas, and you could very easily subscribe to that. We had the conversation a few episodes ago about the things that you see on social media, generally speaking, are probably bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, if you're allowing that bullshit to influence you, then that's changing your reality a little bit. If you're constantly comparing yourself to somebody else, well, that's influence, man. You're allowing those people to influence you.
Yeah. When you ask me what I allow to influence me, in some ways it goes back to, and I feel like I beat a dead horse on every fucking episode, but dude, here it is, right? Have some self-inspection and define your personal values for yourself. If you know the values that you hold and you know how you want to walk in integrity and show up in the world, that will really clearly help you define what's going to allow you to be. I'm not influenced by a lot of things because I don't give a fuck what a lot of other people think or what a lot of other people do or how a lot of other people feel or how I'm perceived by people because of my actions and X, Y, or Z. Because as long as those actions are aligned with the value system that I have and I feel like I'm walking in integrity and I'm able to set appropriate boundaries and stuff like that, I really don't fucking care.
Well, because that's not to say you've done the work, though.
I have.
You've done the work so that you understand who you are.
Yeah, and that's not to say that I'm not, you know, probably improperly influenced sometimes by certain things or, you know, the people that, the things that probably influence me the most are the avenues that I explore to figure out those things about myself, you know, or the people that I found to trust in how I research or how I've explored those things, or the people that I'm close with in my life, like my wife or you, or, you know, certain specific friends who I care deeply about, maybe how they view me or how they feel about me or my actions towards them.
Yeah.
Those are things that definitely influence me. But outside of that,
I think for a young man, peer pressure
for sure
can probably,
and social media is a big one.
Social media, but even in your direct friend group, peer pressure can go a long ways.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to say two things on that. I wanted to say the peer pressure thing, but the other piece that I wanted to say was, especially for the younger people that are maybe listening to this, I think us, maybe the older generations, we're a little more experienced and educated in to a certain degree. I don't want to completely throw a blanket over everybody and say that, because I know some fucking idiots that are my age too, but I wanted to say, don't be married to your opinions. Don't be married to your game plan. And an example, I was running some tactical intercepts this week, and this guy, he just wasn't getting it. Like, I don't know why he couldn't understand how to take in this information. And I finally started asking him some questions in between a couple of the sets after I'd watched two or three of these. And I started poking and I started scratching at it. And it turns out that when he was studying and when he was chair flying through this, he had made up his mind, this is what I'm going to do. And I had this exact discussion with him. I'm like, dude, you can't be married to your game plan, bro.
No.
You can't be.
Yeah.
The enemy gets a vote. And when you hear commit, dark star picture, you have to listen to what's said, and that dictates your game plan. Oh, by the way, that might change as bad guys and adversaries start to move around and change altitudes, as the picture develops a little bit, you may have to change your game plan again. So you can't be married to your game plan. And I feel the same way about opinions. You can't really be married to it. You can't say, well, I'm on the red team or I'm on the blue team, and this is just the way it is, man. If you just let down your ego just a little bit and you start to look at facts, it's okay to change your opinion. It's okay to change your game plan.
Yeah.
I mean, this is real life stuff, right?
No, absolutely. And that's the whole stay curious, not judgmental too, right? Even with people that you may disagree with, it's good to have conversations with people, I think, that maybe hold a different opinion than you. Because if you can stay open to the conversation,
yeah,
you may learn something that you didn't know before. And that can inform your perception. That can inform the decisions you make or how you view the world. So I think all of that stuff's really important. But yeah, coming back to the influence piece, I mean, and we've said this before too, for any young men out there that are maybe, you know, having issues with social media or comparison or friend groups or things like that, like, let's get down to the nitty gritty and let's worry about you. You make decisions that are good for you. Don't worry about what everybody else is thinking. You make decisions that are going to align with who you're trying to be and where you're trying to get to go or where you're trying to go. Who gives a fuck about the peanut gallery, right? Just, you've got to get into that mindset at some point, and you have to stop thinking and worrying about, you know, all of these outside social norms and influences that can happen in life, and just focus on who you want to be, what you want to be about, and then moving out in that direction.
There's kind of that famous quote out there that says, in order to be old and wise, you first have to be young and stupid.
That's true.
You know, so young guys out there, explore.
Yeah, there's
you know, truth experiment. To that. I mean, and please don't take that to mean nefarious shit, but you know, go hike the mountain and see what's on the other side. Go jump off the waterfall. I mean, I got a whole library of stories that I could tell of me just trying things, just experimenting with shit and going, well, that didn't work, or man, that was really cool. At the same time though, you know, like one of the things that I taught my boys when they were growing up was how to see right and wrong. And I know that that's a gray definition, and it's really individual on what you believe is right and what you believe is wrong. But generally speaking, go back to the values episode, and we were talking a little bit about virtues in there. Generally speaking, somebody, I mean, you kind of know, like, when you're doing wrong shit.
Yeah.
You know, if you're stealing from the supermarket, that's generally accepted as being wrong. If you're killing people, that's generally accepted as being wrong, right? So you kind of know right from wrong. You know things that you should do and probably shouldn't do, things that you could get in trouble for and things that probably aren't going to cause you a lot of heartburn in the end. So knowing those two lanes, I think, can drive your decision-making. And if everybody's jumping off the bridge, you don't have to jump off the bridge. That said, maybe jumping off the bridge is fucking cool.
Yeah.
It could be. I mean, I've jumped off of shit. So try things, but know where that limit is and know where that threshold is. The peer pressure thing, I mean, I've kind of prided myself since I was a little kid. I've kind of prided myself on, dude, I'm marching to the beat of my own drum. Mm-hmm. And what the masses are doing doesn't necessarily dictate what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Now, if I see what the masses are doing and I think it's really cool, I'm probably going to do it.
Sure.
I'm probably going to try it because, I mean, you could have a great experience, like jumping off the big-ass rock in Hawaii. I've got a great picture of me in midair jumping off this giant rock out in the middle of the ocean. It was cool, man. Jumping off of waterfalls, hiking to freaking buses in Alaska. We had no business doing that, but it was cool. We experimented, and we got some great stories to tell because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, when it's, and again, just on the topic of influence, whether it's influence you accept or influence you project, at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to do very well with either one of those if you can't be authentic in how you perceive the information that you're getting and then in what you put out to the world, right?
Try to let your biases down a little bit.
And you can't be authentic if you're not introspective and you don't know what your personal values are, right?
Well,
and
so, hold up, drop us a little of that nerd language. Is there something about the confirmation bias? Is that what kind of, am I hitting that one right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I read something about it once.
Confirmation, hold on a second. We'll edit this out.
Yeah, I think confirmation bias was something like, you have this preconceived notion.
Of what things should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So confirmation bias is just people's tendency to process information by looking for or interpreting information that's consistent with their existing beliefs. Yeah. So, you know,
it's the echo chamber.
Sure. Yeah. So,
okay.
And that's why it's also important in certain respects, I think, going back to your previous point is, you know, if you're a hard lefty or a hard righty and all you listen to are the hardies on the left and the hardies on the right, so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, dude, that's confirmation bias in a nutshell. If all you're doing is trying to get information from people that agree with you, then good luck. Yeah. I mean, good for you.
Like we were talking about in the pregame, there's he said and she said, and somewhere in the middle is the truth. And there's red team and blue team, and somewhere in the middle is the truth.
In the real life, especially when it comes to, in my opinion, news these days, is there's not really too many news agencies that actually just report facts anymore. Everything's editorial. Everything has a slant. And so if you want to find the truth, you've actually got to probably listen to both sides and then figure out what kind of lies in the middle, because that's probably what the truth about it is, right?
I wouldn't even classify it as news. So, most of it, I'd classify it as entertainment, because it's really, I mean, watch Sean Hannity or Rachel Maddow, and that's not news, that's entertainment, all that is. It's just, it's banter and rhetoric, and I mean, for the listeners, I think your life would be better if you just turned the freaking news off for a couple of years. And I guarantee, so my wife used to watch these soap operas when we first got married. I don't know the names of them, Guiding Light or As the World Turns or something like that, right?
Sure.
I don't know which one she watched, but she would go like 6 months without watching, and then she would go back to her, and catch an episode here and there, and like nothing changed. It's the same shit. The same people doing the same things, the same guys in the hospital, the same gal comes back from the dead or, you know, wherever. And that's the kind of the way that I look at the media nowadays is turn it off for 2 years, go back and watch a little bit of it. Whether you are a CNN or a Fox News kind of person, doesn't matter. Just turn it on and watch it after not watching it for 2 years. It's the same stuff.
Yeah.
It's the same exact
stuff. It doesn't change. The point of that, though, is when it comes to confirmation biases, if you're just going to take information that is consistent with your beliefs and not listen to anybody who has beliefs that are counter to yours, then what you're doing is you're setting yourself up for a very black and white world. The X is right. X is wrong. This is right. This is wrong. This is good. This is bad. This is true. This is false. And I'm here to tell you, that's not how the fucking world works.
Yeah.
There's usually a bajillion fucking shades of gray between most of these things. Yeah. Now there are some hard truths, right? There are some right and wrongs. But largely, especially when it comes to social, political, or any of this other bullshit, there's so many layers of gray in that stuff. And if you want to set yourself up for, some failure or some ignorance, then go ahead and start thinking that way and negate listening to what the other side has to say. Cause that's just ignorance, man.
Bro, go get married. Like,
yeah,
I mean, there's a tremendous amount of compromise and understanding that has to go into a long-term relationship. you know, and it can't be black and white. You have to listen to the other person's opinion or you're not going to be living under the same roof for a very long time, you know, and, you know, Katie and I disagree on some things and it's usually fun. We usually end up laughing at the end of it, but there are some things that we disagree on and that's okay.
It's okay to disagree.
It's okay, man. You can disagree with people. And there's been times where I've convinced her on one side and there's been some times that I've allowed her to convince me of some other things. You know, maybe she had a different point of view or she brought a different perspective or she had looked up a different set of data or something like that, you know? And so you have to be a little bit open-minded. Back to the influence discussion, what we're talking about, when we're talking about influence, whether it's ingoing or outgoing influence, I kind of brought it down into two kind of subcategories. There was direct or indirect. Direct being, for example, given somebody in a flight brief, you're given somebody instruction, or in a debrief, you're given somebody instruction, you're directly influencing them. Now, granted, you are in a position of authority over them as the flight leader, the instructor, but you're directly influencing them in order to elicit some behavior change from them. Like, you did this incorrectly. Here's the instructional fix on how you can do it better the next time, kind of thing. That's a direct influence. An indirect influence may be, let's say I'm at the supermarket and my bags break as I'm getting ready to put them in the car. And when my eggs hit the ground, I start yelling four-letter F words at the top of my lungs. And the little kid that's two rows over on his drive home starts yelling, fuck, fuckity, fuck, 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 on the way home. I indirectly influenced that kid. So I didn't necessarily sit him down and go, now listen here, little lad. This is what I want you to say when you're listening to your Looney Tunes on the way home. No, it was indirect. You overheard it from somewhere. You saw it in a passing by, something like that. It's more of an overt action. Sorry, covert action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I would just add to that, especially in the direct influence, I'm the instructor example. That is direct influence, but only if the other person accepts it to a certain extent, right? So if you're the asshole instructor and everybody knows you're an asshole and that you're nitpicky and you have pet rocks and nobody gives a fuck about your pet rocks, then nobody listens to you and really takes any of the instruction that you provide. We can probably name a couple of instructors that we had. I remember specifically at weapons school one time in my notebook writing down, I am not listening to anything this fucking dude's telling me right now because it's all a bunch of bullshit. So,
it could be good stuff, but the way he delivered it was.
Versus the instructors that you trust, that you respect, right? That have influence because they have that authentic influence. It's not a positional or an authority driven influence. That those are the people that really make the difference, I think.
Yeah.
That really garner the most amount of influence in the people around them. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think you sense it. And I was watching this Tony Robbins video. It was an interview that he was doing. This has been a while ago, but I jotted down a couple things from it. And when you're in one of those positions, maybe whether you're in a formal leadership position or not, you know, and we've got several examples of that, but I think one of the key points is whatever you're doing, you have to be passionate about it. That's going to allow that energy to come out. And when people, like you've said a few times, when people see how much you care, then they're more willing to get on board with what you're selling. Right. And you may not be selling anything. You maybe should be doing it because that's who you are and that's what you do. And like going to the gym, we go to the gym every day. We go work out every day. And that's just a part of our life. Other people start to pick up on that and go, hey, man, well, if Roscoe can go to the gym every day, I got people, Cass, that'll send me text messages throughout the week of them hiking up in the white tanks or out mountain biking, or they'll just send me a picture of them out jogging going, hey, man, I got mine today. Yeah, dude, that's awesome. See, that's we've had that positive influence on those guys because there was a portion of our life that we were passionate about that was high on our value list.
Yeah.
Another piece is you have to kind of believe in what you're doing. You have to be passionate. He told this really good story about there was this guy back in the 90s that found this treasure. And there were three kind of main points. He had to believe the treasure was there, for one, right? I mean, there's no point in going and searching for treasure if you don't actually believe that it's there.
Yeah.
So he believed it was there. He had to believe that he was the one that was going to find it. So you have to have that level of confidence in yourself and your abilities to where, dude, I know that that treasure's out there and I know I can go find it, man. I can do the work and I can get there, right? And then the third thing was he had to believe that it was going to be worth it in the end, right? It wasn't just, I'm going to go out there and open an empty box with no gold bullion in it.
Yeah.
But those three things combined into his belief that this venture that I'm going on is going to be worth it. And then finally, the last piece was you have to be a little bit humble and you have to be a little bit vulnerable, because if you stick yourself out there as a leader, there's going to be times when it gets lopped off.
Yeah.
I mean, if you try, if you stick it out there enough times, so to speak, you're probably going to get your head bashed in every now and then.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about that. If you dare greatly enough times, you are going to fail, right?
Right.
If you jump into the arena enough times, every once in a while, you're going to get, you know, bloodied and battered a little bit. That's just part of the process.
Yeah.
So that's all good, man. So yeah, with the other thing that I would just add from like a leadership perspective, when it comes to, if you want to be, so if you're out there and you're aspiring to be in a leadership position, or maybe you are in a leadership position, the best thing that you can do, I think, if you want to influence the team around you or the people around you, is to do what we've been talking about, which is building that authentic authority and not some authority that's derived from the position that you hold. Mm-hmm. And so we've talked about the best way that you can do that is to show up and be authentic, right? Be honest with the people that you work with. I think you've got to look at how you approach the people around you, right? Look at their strengths and weaknesses and try to set them up and put them in roles and in positions that accentuate the strengths, and as much as possible, maybe kind of eliminate the weaknesses. Mm-hmm. But then also be honest with the people that you work with about your own strengths and weaknesses too, right? So one of the best commanders that I had, and I'll just give you an example of this, was in the 55th Fighter Squadron. And when we moved down, the 78th shut down, so Shao went from 4 Viper squadrons to 3, and, you know, the Air Force did their whole ominous, these are the squadrons that shall be under the 20th Fighter Wing based on history. And so on a Friday, we shut down the 78th, and on Monday, we went down and put on 55th patches and moved down the flight line to a new building and swapped squadron commanders, basically, is what happened. And so we get down there, and we got this new cat, and he sits all the flight commanders down, and he goes, I want you to rank every dude in the squadron 1 to 32 on flying ability, officership, and I think leadership or something like that, 3 traits. So he gives them a week. They come back, and they rank everybody, and they go through the list 1 to 32. And he goes, okay, next week, I want you guys to come back and tell me how you're going to take the dudes in the bottom third and move them up the list. Right? And so that's super cool, right? Because he's just trying to identify, hey, man, this isn't just my job to do here. Like, you guys are flight commanders. You guys have roles and responsibilities to play in this. And in a squadron, we're only as good as the weakest link, right?
Yeah,
and so let's start to focus on how we move guys up. We've identified these things. And he went into a bunch of different other things, too, about, you know, make sure you give guys feedback, put guys in play. Because if you give guy good feedback and you go, hey, man, your flying skills are good, but you're really shitty at your queep jobs and your officership sucks and, you know, you look like Joe Bag of Donuts every morning when you walk into work. Well, 6 months later, and then maybe you give him an opportunity to put him into play to see if he can work on some of those things by giving him a projo mm-hmm. position or whatever the case may be. Well, 6 months later, when it comes time for rankings or OPR or whatever, when you go, all right, dude, here's where you're at, he can't go, well, I didn't know that I wasn't, right? You got to put people in play and give them opportunities to let them rise or fall based on their own merits, things like that. But my point in all of that is understand people's strengths and weaknesses, look at way to accentuate their strengths or even to shore up their weaknesses or to help teach them how to maneuver in that space. And then be honest with people too, right? Just be authentic about how the things that you've struggled with or the ways that you've been able to increase whatever maybe some of your strengths or weaknesses were, just because when you do that with people that work for you, it just makes you very real. It makes you very approachable.
Yeah, I think there's so many layers of what you were talking about in there, and you could go down so many rabbit holes with the leadership and the and all that, but trying to stick to the influence piece of it is, if that commander was, if he had put that out in front of the flight commanders and expected them to do a job, but he himself is walking in with his patches upside down, looks like Joe Bag of Donuts, right? So at some point, you have to earn that credibility, and you have to be the example.
You do.
And you know, take this down to your personal life. I was listening to this show a while back, watching it on YouTube, whatever, and he's a pretty high-profile influencer, great speaker, great motivator and everything, and he's talking about everybody getting out there and, you know, your personal excellence and your own self-improvement and all this stuff. Meanwhile, he's walking around the stage at about 350 pounds. So the show that I was watching with him was him talking about that. And he says, I realized that I did not have the influence that I thought I did because I wasn't being that example.
Yeah.
So what did he do? He cut a bunch of weight and he got shredded and now he's huge and he's all cut up and everything. And now when he walks on the stage and he talks about that stuff, the people are just wide-eyed in awe, you know, whereas before they're like, look at this fat ass guy up here telling us to go out and run 5 miles and get on a diet. He ain't doing it.
Right.
So you have to have that little bit of credibility,
yeah,
you know, behind your what you're trying to peddle out there as influence and what you're trying to do and promote these guys and get them doing the right things. You too kind of have to walk that line.
Agreed. And I think we saw it in the fighter squadrons too, right? I think it's important that you set a standard, and the standard's achievable, but you set a standard and you hold yourself to that standard.
Yeah.
You know, and you also have the fucking balls when you don't meet the standard to go, dudes, I fucked up today. My bad. I'll fix it next time.
Yeah.
That's important as a leader too, if you want to maintain influence.
Well, take that into your personal life.
Yeah.
You know, you can do this in your day-to-day actions as well, just around your house or in your immediate relationships, or hell, just the way you conduct yourself every day. Do you get up when your alarm clock goes off? Do you do the things that you said that you were going to do today? Do you have a goal and some shit that you're trying to knock out every single day? And then at the end of the day, do you debrief yourself? Did I get this done? Yes or no? If no, why? Or why not? So I think when you come down to personal influence, yeah, you can take a lot of these and break them down into a personal level, a professional level, a relationship level. You can apply these principles across the board to all this stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if you try to maintain some authenticity, and even if you're, again, like we were saying earlier, even if you're not intending to influence people around you, you will by default influence people around you if you have a high standard that you set for yourself, if you maintain that standard, and if you're very authentic and build trust with people, by default, you'll end up being an influence in the people around you.
Yeah, I think when you're either direct or indirect influence of the people around you, when they see you doing the things, I mean, this is one of five project stuff that I talk about: improve, ignite, inspire, right? Improve your personal standard, ignite a fire through these small little victories, and let that inspire others to do the same things. And it all starts with the individual. What you do when you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night, every action that you do during the day could be influencing someone else. And the weird thing about it is you don't know when that influence, if I'm walking through the hallways at work and maybe I'm having a great day, like this is the best day ever. It's Wednesday. It's awesome. I'm here doing my thing. I'm just in a great mood. And as I turn the corner, I stump my toe in the door and I have a scowl on my face because my big toe hurts. And right at that moment, a guy walks out and sees me with that scowl on my face. This is the best day ever. I've had the best day, but for that 5 seconds out of my day, he saw me and maybe that influenced me or influenced him. And he goes back into his little cubby or his office and he goes, man, have you seen Roscoe today? He looks like an angry dude. No, dude, I'm having the best day ever. You just saw me at the right. So you never know when you're going to be influencing people. This is why I've really, just in my own personal life, I've tried to learn the skill of being self-aware. Aware of my actions, aware of my surroundings, aware of what my facial expressions are, and my body language, and the way that I interact with people. Who do I joke around with versus who do I get serious with? You know, all these things. And this, again, this goes into your professional life. It goes into your circle of friends. There's a time to turn it on and a time to turn it off. And at any one of those times, you could be influencing somebody.
Yeah.
For good or bad.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Something that's really neat, man, is like this gets overlooked because we take so much shit for granted, but as a human race, we live in like one of the best times ever. You have so much out there that's available to you. You have so many resources. I mean, the internet has just changed the world. And it's changed your ability to where if you seek anything, you can go and get self-educated on it, man. You can try these things. You can listen to books on YouTube or on Audible. You can Google anything and find out the information. And that is influence. You can help yourself out, get ahead in life, and become a better version of yourself every day by being self-educated. So research some of these topics. Go in there, and if you're curious about meditation or self-awareness or mindfulness, go read some articles on it. Go watch a YouTube video on it. Download the Calm app or whatever it is. Yeah, I don't use that, but use some other things. But there are ways that you can get out there. So the information age that we're living in, you've got no excuses. Something breaks on your car, you can Google it and watch a YouTube video and figure out how to fix it. The same is true in your own life. If you're curious about making a change in your personal life or your personal development, go get smart on it, man. Try some things out.
Yeah, and I think it's important to recognize what we were talking about earlier, which is we're not just talking about the influence that you can have over other people, but what influences are you allowing into your life? Like maybe it's time to sit down and grab a piece of paper and really think about, dude, take a little stock in what are the things that I'm allowing to influence me and in what I believe in my behavior, in my actions, maybe what I spend money on, there might be some things there that need to be changed. There might be some things there that we're not even that self-aware of, but are having bigger impacts than we even realize.
Yeah.
And so I would just encourage any of the ones out there to go ahead and take stock of some of those things and really have some self-analysis. And because again, this all comes back to you as an individual. You've got to figure out these things. And if you want to have a great influence around people or learn how to do that well, you can't do it until you can be authentic, and you can't do that until you know your values. And you've got to do some of this self-reflection stuff, both on what I need to do to get myself where I want to be, but then also what are the influences that are happening around me that I'm allowing into my life that may not be the best for me, whether it's social media, you know, whether you're listening to one of these toxic fucking dudes on YouTube or whatever,
they're called influencers for a reason.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, doesn't mean they're good ones. You know what I mean?
What you're talking about a little bit is the two-step flow theory. And I just learned about that this week while I was researching this topic, but the two-step flow theory is, all right, let me rewind and talk about the hypodermic needle theory. The hypodermic needle theory was, say, pre-internet. When you sat down to watch the news at night, you gathered around, got the family around the TV that was probably on top of a TV, at least in my house it was. We had a TV on top of a TV. And you're watching Brokaw or Rather or whoever it was. You assumed that information coming out of there was factual and generally unopinionated. It was just, this is the news, right? Well, the information age, the internet has changed that. And now we have what's called the two-step flow theory. And the media, which it's all propaganda and entertainment. Well, the nuggets that come out of there go down a level to these influencers and these guys who are peddling out their opinions, Ben Shapiro, Bill Maher, your late night talk show host, etc. These guys are peddling their opinions. Whoever you are listening to or whoever you subscribe to, whichever one of those shows you may be watching, if you're not mindful of that, well, go back to our discussion 20 minutes ago about you're getting one side of the story, a highly opinionated one side of the story. And if you have a little bit of awareness and a little bit of mindfulness, maybe a little bit of discipline, you can go back in and search out the other side and maybe start to decipher what might be the truth somewhere in between those.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else you got on influence, man?
Do you think we hit on the power versus influence piece clearly enough, or do you want to have a short, quick discussion on?
Go for it, dude.
On that,
go for it.
I mean, we kind of talked around it a little bit, bits and pieces at the beginning, with just kind of, you know, there's positional power, there's power that kind of comes with the hierarchy of organizations and stuff like that. But I think there's a difference that needs to be illustrated between power versus influence. And Martin Luther King Jr. defined power as the ability to achieve purpose and effect change. The thing that I like about that definition is it doesn't make power inherently good or bad. Because really what makes power dangerous is how it's used. Yeah. Right? And so, because you can have a great amount of power, but do a lot of really good things with it. And you can have a great amount of power and do some really bad things with it too. So
that's true. And that comes back down to your individual value system and what you're attaining to or aspiring to.
Yeah.
And speaking specifically of the power, from that positional power necessarily, there's generally seven categories, I think, that are between five and seven categories that are kind of accepted as the different types of power, legitimate, coercive, et cetera. You know, so depending on what that individual's goal is, man, it all comes back to the individual.
It does.
It all comes back to who, what type of person and what his goals and aspirations are. What are his value systems that drive him, that commander that's in the position that's acting like an ass and being the little dictator walking around the squadron versus the dude that walks in and he's just one of the bros and just wants to help everybody win. You know, two very different characters in the same position.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're in a position too where you're kind of wondering, maybe you're at work and what kind of a leadership do I have, things like that, well, it's pretty easy, not necessarily easy, but I think you can distill it down and kind of figure it out by just looking at how these people operate, right? So, because an influence leader, somebody who's being authentic and using their influence for good things, they're going to share success and pay it forward to their team. You know, where somebody who's maybe more of a power over leader or somebody who's not as authentic is going to take the successes of the team and they're going to use it to lift up their own success. You know, yeah. They're going to take credit for everything that everybody does. They're not going to pay it back. They're not going to pay it down. They're not going to pay it forward. You know, influence leaders are going to mentor. They're going to try to inspire. They're going to try to empower the teams around them. Where, you know, somebody who is a power leader, right? They're going to be, you're going to do it because I told you to. It's, you know, lead by fear and intimidation. And if you don't meet your quotas and you don't meet your benchmarks, then you're out of here.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of, and you better figure it out. I had to figure it out on my own, so you got to figure it out on your own, right? There's some of that goes into that.
There is some, what's the word I'm looking for? There's some utility in learning that lesson, and it's, you know, self-discovery and sure, confidence and those kinds of things.
But I think it depends on the scenario, but yeah. So, I mean, but that's just as an example. Those are kind of ways that you can see the difference between, you know, that person that's trying to operate and have influence from an authentic place and somebody who's just in that more position of power or that power, or is just a person who isn't really authentic, but just has that power over mentality.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, dude, I saw this all the time as a football coach with the various teams.
Oh, I bet.
Either, you know, whether it was part of my coaching staff or part of another team's coaching staff, you know, as the head coach, I was kind of in charge of the whole team. And in the coaches' meetings or in the team meetings, I had the markers last. And so my decision was my decision, right? But at the same time, you have to develop the people around you, you know, and what's that old saying? There's a quote out there or something that says, the hallmark of a true leader is when he creates other leaders. So I really took that. I tried to take that in and I tried to build up my coaching staff, my coordinators, so that they had the confidence to execute when I wasn't around, or if I was unavailable, I needed them to have the confidence to make that decision.
That's right.
And know that I was going to back them. Yeah. I might disagree with them.
Yeah.
But in the moment, dude, this is what we got and we're going for it. Now we can debrief in a second and figure out, you know, whether your decision was based on the right perception or, you know, the right knowledge base or the right experience. We can debrief that and debate that later.
Sure.
But at the same time, you kind of want to give the guys a little bit of leash.
You do. That's empowerment.
To let them fail. you know, and sometimes they lean a little bit too far forward and you have to kind of pull them back a little bit. But just in the coaching staff itself, man, I used to see this all the time in practice. You'd have this one assistant coach over there, and maybe I've been guilty of it a few times too, but you know, you're just, you're exerting your power and your position of authority on the team just cause, you know, like, we're going to go run sprints just because I want to see you guys run sprints versus, hey man, you know, we need to get some conditioning. All right. But we also need to work on our hurry up offense. Well, we can do two things at the same time here. And I think that every season, I think I got a little bit better at understanding how to put those pieces together. And I saw young coaches making the same mistakes that I made early on, try to go mentor them. Maybe they would take it, maybe they wouldn't. But when I wrote this coach's guide that I wrote not too long ago, it's going to come out next year. But in there, I was talking about, dude, like after the first week or two, lining up on the goal line and doing sprints doesn't do anything for your team except demoralize them and make them anxious for that part of practice. I'd rather them be focused on the here and now. This is the drill I need to be going on. Not, hey man, if I go half speed on this drill, I'll have a little bit more energy for the last drill or yeah. for the sprints at the end that I know are coming, and fuck those sprints, you know? So we try to mix it up a little bit, and two or three nights out of the week, we do hurry up offense. We're going to do hurry up offense down the field and back the field. I want to play every 12 seconds, ready, go. When I blow the whistle, when the play's dead and I blew the whistle, I would start counting 12, 11, 10, and I needed that snap off by the time I hit zero.
Yeah.
The kids are getting conditioning. Mm-hmm. We're working on our offense. I'm teaching them to think and be tired at the same time. And yeah, I mean, you got 12 seconds to get the play, get out there, line up correctly, know what my assignment is, and then execute that assignment for the next 4 to 6 seconds and do it again over and over and over again. And by the end of it, hey, we're all getting conditioning out of it. Coaches are getting better at recognizing errors and yep. coaching up errors in a very short amount of time. I mean, everybody's winning, right?
You're empowering. You set a standard. What's good about that, too, and I think the other thing that's important always when we talk about, because these things, again, when we talk about influence, it's not black and white, and it's not that simple, and it's not that easy, and this is a process. And so, guys, you're not just going to be able to go out there and go, oh, well, I'm going to be my authentic self, and this is who I am, and now I have influence. It doesn't fucking work like that, right? Like, it's a lot of trial and error. It's taken you and yeah. I a long time to get here. But this is, but just as some examples or some anecdotal things, like, this is how you do it. You empowered your people around you. You allowed them the ability to have a little bit of wiggle room to think for themselves, to step out and be comfortable enough to go, this is my decision and this is the direction that I think we should move. And even if it didn't work out, that's okay, because we can just debrief, and that builds trust, right? That's yeah. collaborative. That's a way that you build trust with people and show them that you're invested in them and things like. I had a similar situation in the 425th. You can tell me who you think it is after we get done, but I had a particular DO who was really good, was a good DO, was, I thought, a good leader. But that first couple of months that he was in that seat, he wouldn't make a fucking decision. And he kept coming into my office and asking me, well, what about this and what about that? And, you know, the first 4 to 6 weeks, I'm like, yeah, dude, come on in, ask the questions. You know, you got to get your arms around everything. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit different with the Singapore squadron and all that stuff. There's some nuances that you got to yeah. figure out. But I realized after about 2 months that he just wasn't going to make a fucking decision. He was always going to default yeah. to me. And that's not how I get him ready for what could be next as commander.
Was that a lack of confidence, or had he just gotten conditioned to the idea of asking you, taking the easy route? You
know? I think it was a little bit of both, but I think it was more the latter. I think it was just more conditioned, right? Yeah. Well, because you know, in the military, there's always somebody that's above you, right?
Yeah.
So, but one of the things that I learned as a commander too is sometimes you can't wait around for the boss above you to make a fucking decision, because if he's a Yahoo and he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing anyways, mm-hmm. you could sit there and ask something and you're going to be waiting a week before you get a response, and a week's too fucking long. So sometimes it's better to just go, hey boss, here's what I'm thinking about doing. And then in lieu of no response, mm-hmm. you just fucking move out. And then if boss comes back and goes, I told you this is what I was going to do. And yep. you never got back to me. And I can't wait fucking all day long for it.
I just did this week with this podcast stuff. There was something that I was ready to move on that I wanted to make a decision. I texted you or tried to call you and I waited and waited and waited. And finally I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to make a call. And if it's a wrong call, then we'll fix it. But
I appreciate you doing that.
This is the call.
But anyways, going back to this DO story. So I recognize that whatever I was doing wasn't working to get him to just, cause dude, I had too much other shit to deal with than to have mm-hmm. to answer DO questions all the time. And so I went to my secretary and I said, I'm taking next week off. Nobody is supposed to call me unless somebody dies or we were in jets together. I don't want to call from anybody otherwise. I don't care if the building's on fire. Figure out how to fucking put it out. Like, I don't want to hear from
anybody. Solve your problems. Yeah.
And I went to my DO and I said, Death, we run two jets together. Only reason you call me. I don't want to be called for somebody gets a DUI. Fucking deal with it, dude. I'll be back in a week. Right? Whatever.
How did he handle that?
Dude, it was perfect because I went on vacation for a week. I didn't hear from anybody. I came back.
He figured it out.
He figured it out. Yeah.
So that's, you know, and I've found that more often than not, if you just turn them loose.
Yeah. Put them in play.
They'll figure it out.
Empower them. Tell them you believe them. You trust them. You trust their decision maker. Yeah. And if they screw something up, then great. We'll debrief it when I get back from vacation.
But, dude, we do this with our kids, man. We raise them for 18 years. Then we kick them out into the real world. And many of our listeners are in this phase right now where they're figuring it out.
Yeah.
You figure, real life, man.
Yeah.
I left the house when I was 17 years old and I haven't really been back since.
Yeah.
Katie and I drove to Alaska when we were 23 years old with nothing but a CB radio. You figure it out, man. It's real life, you know? And as we kind of start to wrap this up a little bit, the influence piece, recognize that it's two sides of the same coin. You are being influenced and you influence others, mm-hmm. right? And for me anyways, I would hope that I'm influencing people so that they can improve their personal standard and do the things that they need to do to get ahead in life, even when I'm not around. And this is the way that I coach individuals. This is the way that I used to coach my teams was, dudes, if I'm not there, if I'm not there to make a decision, or if I'm not there to tell you to go to the gym every day, I want you to get to the level where you still go to the gym every day. That's the level of influence that I would like to have on somebody, is to lead by that example. And this is goes back to, you know, me and the couple of bros that are the couple of guys that I'm intern right now, that I'm coaching right now. And they send me text messages during the week. I got one just a couple of days ago. Guy was up on top of a mountain with his mountain bike going, hey, man, great view from up here. See, that's because he's seen for a couple of years now. He saw the way I carried myself and the things that I did, that he called me one night and says, hey, man, you know, you seem to be doing some good stuff. Can you help me get started? Yeah, dude, I'll help you get started. And we kind of, you know, after a couple of months, he ended up going and running a 5K, and now he's like in a good routine and he does these things, man. And so that's my goal. That's where I like to go with this. You know, my own personal, I guess, goal is to try to have that influence on other people to be positive.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the only other thing that I would add to that is just what we were talking about, which is recognize it's a process. And part of that stay curious piece too is, dude, go figure out what it is for you. Like, go try some things. Go, you know, go figure out how you want to show up and play with that a little bit and experiment with that a little bit and try some different things out and see what works for your personality and for, you know, just the skills that you have and what doesn't, and then adjust fire and move out from there.
Yeah.
And do the fucking work. Like, get out a piece of paper and figure out these things about yourself. What are you allowing to influence you? How are you showing up in the world? How do you want to change that? How do you need to make that different if you want to be a positive influence, or if you want to have a positive mental attitude? Like, do the fucking work. If you're just going to, if you're just going to fucking push play and listen to us in the background while you're at work or whatever, then thanks. We appreciate it. The, you know, like and leave us a review because it helps the podcast. But I mean, fuck off. You're not doing anything for yourself. Yeah. It's no benefit added if you're not going to do the fucking work.
Yeah. And while this is, you know, we try to make our shows mildly entertaining.
Sorry, I'm salty today. I warned you.
That's valid. That's true. While we try to make our shows mildly entertaining, at least we're having fun, and maybe some listeners are. But if you're a young man listening to this and you're trying to figure some of this stuff out, guys, you have to realize that we went through this.
Yeah.
And maybe it took us a really long time. Maybe it took us a couple of decades or you know, our timeline was longer. Our hope is to shorten that timeline for you so that you figure these things out earlier and quicker and better than we did so that you can get your life started, man.
Yeah, and I'm not saying be perfect because guess what? I still fuck this shit up all the goddamn time. And even though I'm sitting here going, hey, dude, I understand this and I've defined my values, I don't always fucking show up the way I want to. I'm not always out there walking with integrity. I'm not always making the best decisions I can for myself and for my family and for, you know, I'm human. I fuck it away all the time.
You're gonna have bad days, man.
That's not the point. The point is fucking you gotta try. You gotta get in the arena, you gotta do the work, you gotta take stock and you gotta go, okay, well, hey man, I'm doing these things well and I've really fucked that away. So I need to work on that next. And it's just additive and you just fucking do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna go wind Cass down a little bit, maybe go stick his feet in the pool and let him come down of whatever it is he's high on right now. But any parting shots, dude?
No, man. Be the one.
Be the change.